Hillman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, let's say what's happening to the guy that knows more about games than games sometimes even know about themselves. It's a big statement, but that's what this guy's about. What's happening, Alessandro Barbosa?
I'm good, and you, Ari Kalman?
Very, very good, bro. Yeah, name, surname, all of that. All right, let's get into it. Before we look at the stuff that is on the agenda, dude, Pokemon Go, Nintendo's share price, the stock jumped by 70% in the past couple of days. Their value's gone from £13 billion to like just under £20 billion. It's like ridiculous. What? Like, did we see this coming? I don't remember speaking about this.
Yeah, it's absolute madness. I think I read during the week that Nintendo's share price is the highest it's ever been since like 1981 when they released one of their first home consoles. Like, it's absolutely insane. And it's I mean, Pokemon Go has been known to be coming out for like a year, but I don't think even they expected the massive public response it received. And even me, I'm a bit bewildered at like just seeing how many people are actually playing this game. I mean, I went back to Varsity this week and just seeing so many different people that, you know, you wouldn't regularly say play games or actually interact with that type of thing, all talking about Pokemon, all walking around campus holding out their phones and catching these Pokemon. Huh. And it's kind of incredible because I think it's given so many people this, you know, shared space for them to kind of interact with. And it kind of speaks into what games can do when so many people kind of you know, interact with them. It brings people together. And I mean, just this afternoon I went out for lunch with my girlfriend Shani, and we walked up Greenside Road, and we were just, you know, we're like, oh, we're in the area, let's take a 5-minute walk and catch some Pokemon. And we came across this like biker bar, like people with bikes sitting there having beers, and there was this 30-year-old guy there, and he's like, oh, you guys playing Pokemon Go? And we're like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm playing as well, you gotta come see. And I was like, this is surreal, this is so strange, like, yeah. And it's incredible at the same time. So it's such a huge phenomenon, and I think it's going to stay that way for a while. I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's a fad, you know, after 2 weeks it's going to go away. I think this is like a Candy Crush type of situation. Loads of people are going to be playing this for months and years, and I'm kind of happy to see it. I'm glad Nintendo's getting a lot of the limelight finally after, you know, years kind of like struggling. So yeah, I'm happy.
I feel like it's probably got a lot of people in the gaming business going back to the drawing board and thinking about how they're going to do something similar.
Oh, definitely. I think you're going to start suddenly seeing a lot of games kind of trying to do the same. Even though like, what Pokemon Go is doing isn't exactly new. Nintendo and the company who created Pokemon Go tried a similar game like 2 years ago, and it didn't take off like at all. So I think a lot of, you know, the reason Pokemon Go is so big is because it's Pokemon and it's so relatable to so many people. But I definitely think you're going to see a lot of games coming out with similar ideas. And especially when you look at devices like Google Glass and Microsoft's HoloLens, you know, devices that are completely built for these augmented reality experiences, you can kind of see where games like this could go, you know, within the next 3 or 4 years. It could be really interesting. So I'm glad Nintendo kicked it off, kind of.
All right. We've got some other Nintendo news, though. What's up?
Aside from Nintendo just bringing out, you know, and bringing people back to the age of Pokemon, they've thought, hey, this nostalgia thing is kind of cool, and it's kind of making us a lot of money, and I think they kind of foresaw that this would happen. So this week they announced that they're bringing back the Nintendo Entertainment System, or the NES, for anyone who was born in, well, was playing games in the early 90s. It's one of Nintendo's more famous home consoles. It was one of the ones that used like cartridges, and it had like this top slot loader that you slid in cartridges, and you could play games like the original Mario, Mario 2, Mario 3. Some of the first Legend of Zelda games, Donkey Kong and Castlevania. So like really, really old nostalgic classics that, you know, really put Nintendo on the map in the early 90s. So Nintendo is bringing back the NES in this like small kind of like mini version. It won't be able to use any of your old cartridges if you happen to have any of those still. But it does ship with like 30 games that you'll be able to play on the miniature console and plug into your HDTV. And it's retailing for like $60 in the States, and already local pricing's put it at around 900 Rand. So it's really cool. I mean, if you you're kind of in that like nostalgic mood and you're willing to spend 900 rand on 30 games, that's really rad. Or if you're someone like me or never had an NES, I'm jumping at the chance to try and play some of these games that I kind of missed out on, and you know, kind of gave birth to a lot of the games I play today. So yeah, that's coming in November. It will be available locally in November as well, and I'm pretty sure most retailers, especially online retailers, already have pre-orders up. So if you're interested, you should probably look those in.
Very cool. Speaking of missing out, you may be missing out on PlayStation's new VR games because of some compatibility stuff. What's up?
Yeah, so PlayStation VR is coming out in October across the world. It's only going to be in South Africa in January, as far as I know. But there's two very different packages launching for PSVR. So there's a package which just comes with the headset and all the kind of stuff that you needed to get up and running. And then there's a slightly more expensive version which comes with the headset, the PlayStation Eye, which like is a little camera that you need for PlayStation VR to work, and then two Move controllers, motion activated controllers that some games will use. So previously, Sony was saying that all of their PSVR games will be compatible with the normal PlayStation 4 controller. So, you know, people thought, okay, I don't need the PlayStation Move controllers for some of these games. This week, they kind of like backtracked and clarified some of the statements and said that a lot of the games will simply not work without motion control, and they're not trying to force that on developers to try and make it compatible with their normal controllers. So they've said that if you're buying into this whole VR ecosystem, you must be warned that you might need to get motion controllers for some games to work. And I don't think, I mean, just in terms of the virtual reality games I've played, the ones that are best are the ones with motion control. So if anyone's thinking of pre-ordering PSVR, or if you have already, like, I completely suggest that you go for the whole package and get the Move controllers if you don't have them, because those are some of the most immersive virtual reality experiences you're going to have. And funny enough, the ones that didn't actually make me motion sick were the ones where I was moving around and moving my arms because it felt a lot more natural and stuff like that. So yeah, that's just something to take into mind if you are going to be buying one of these things. They revealed the box art for a lot of the VR games, and it's very clear. Like, I don't think anyone's going to go into a shop and pick up a game and get home and be like, oh, I don't have a VR headset and I didn't know this was for virtual reality. So you don't need to worry about that. But yeah, it's just something to note, especially if you're going to pre-order this thing, which is coming out in January only locally, but October in most parts of Europe and America.
Okay. Let's wrap it up with this. Some big news coming out of Gamescom is that there might not be any big news, or there won't be any big news made by Microsoft.
Yeah, so this is actually, I found this a little bit surprising. So last year, if you recall, Gamescom was just, I think it was 6 or 7 weeks after E3, you know, the big event that happens in LA that I attended last year. And Sony, for that reason, kind of missed out on Gamescom altogether. They said it's way too close to E3. They literally have nothing else that they could show at Gamescom that would be different from E3. So they're not hosting a press conference. They're not going to be at the event. They skipped it altogether and instead took their stuff to Paris Games Week, which happens in October. Microsoft this year is kind of doing the same. They've said they're not going to be holding a press conference like they did last year, and instead are going to be just hosting a small fan-orientated event at the expo in Cologne. So they're going to have a lot of the games that they had at E3 that, you know, weren't on show to the public, and they're going to let public get to play it rather than show anything new. And again, it's just kind of like everyone's talking about how E3 is losing its importance, and Gamescom as a result is also losing it as well, just because of it being so close to E3. I mean, it's really hard to expect companies like Sony and Microsoft to have big games, you know, that weren't at E3 and suddenly have them 6-7 weeks later at Gamescom. So I really think Gamescom as a whole is becoming a more, you know, consumer-orientated expo rather than a press-related one. And I think expos like Paris Games Week, which happened in October, are going to become a lot more important because Sony and Microsoft are going to be focusing on them a lot more because there's a bit of a bigger time frame. Mm. So, yeah, I think what it means for people looking to Gamescom for news is that there won't be that much coming out of the expo in comparison to, like, previous years. I know already a lot of news outlets are refusing to make the effort to go to Gamescom because they're not sure there's going to be any new content for them to cover. So I don't know. Gamescom kicks off in Cologne in the middle of August. So I guess we'll have to wait and see if other companies, you know, like third party companies like EA and Ubisoft kind of take the initiative to show off some stuff because now they have all the attention on them, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see how the different, you know, organizers and that work around it. Because obviously, you know, the brands need the organizers to put a show on, but the organizers need the brands to put a show on as well. So those hands have to rub each other in order to make it work and get people there, because they're trying to get the cream of the crop there to, you know, where they're doing it. So they need the brands. Mm. All right, that there is the game zone. Leave me with one final game that I have to play this weekend, Alessandro.
Well, if you're not playing Pokemon Go, you should probably jump on that. But if you're not into the whole walking around with your cell phone out thing, there is what came out this week. There's a pretty sublime game that I don't think I spoke about last week. Called Inside. It's on Xbox and PC. It's like a really creepy 2D puzzle platformer from the guys who made Limbo. So if you ever played Limbo, really, really fantastic game. It's like $150 on Xbox, and I think it's the same on PC. And it's honestly one of the best games I've played this year. So you should probably grab that if you can. And if you're on PlayStation and you don't have anything to play, there's a ton of specials on the PlayStation Network store this weekend. You can pick up really, really good classics like Alienation for, I think, less than $100. Huh. So you should definitely check out the store, and you could probably find something neat to play for, you know, the weekend ahead.
All right. Very, very cool. That there is Alessandro Barbosa. It's at Caption Barbosa on the Twitter sphere. Dude, thanks so much for dropping by in today's Game Zone.
No problem. I'll chat to you guys next week.
Attention, all young leaders. Ever wondered how to go from where you are to where you want to be? It's time to take charge of your future. The Unplugged and In Charge radio show is hosting the second annual Young Leaders Seminar. It's a seminar that's relevant to the youth, original, fun, creative, and so not old-fashioned. The Young Leaders Seminar looks to bring together some of the freshest game changers and inspirational celebrity guests. Join us on the 22nd of July at 6 p.m. at the Museion Theatre of University of Pretoria. The power lineup includes Gareth Cliff, Thubim Boya, the host of the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, and a few surprise celebrity guests. Get your ticket at CompuTicket for R100 and get trending on hashtag YLS2016. The Young Leader Seminar, brought to you by Unplugged and In Charge NPO in association with CliffCentral.com. Because we are the ones we've been waiting for.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Hellman on CliffCentral.com.